Hey, you all want to have a message from E.C. Moore? I believe it's called E.C. Moore, the Bible Conference. You all want to hear that message? It's about 30 minutes, I guess.
I don't have an opportunity to preach very often, and this is great. I'm just joking with you about don't have an opportunity to preach very often. One of the best students to my preaching in a long, long time is here this morning. And he, if you're not aware of it, if you don't know him or whatever, and I'm assuming you don't, he is a stomp-down good kicker. Now, he wouldn't know what to do. In other words, if you referred to cotton bowls, he would probably, and I'm just about to lie about him, so I'm going to quit doing that. Brother Byron Wiggins down here is a great kicker. He picks a guitar. So do I. I go to music store and I say, well, I pick this one. I think I'll pick this one. But nevertheless, so the reason I'm telling you this, it might be that to close all this out, I might ask him to come up here and help me. Steve, I thank you for the opportunity to do the best I can to run all these people out of here before lunchtime. I was sitting there and I was thinking about it. The pastor went through in great detail so that I could smell the burgers and I could almost taste and whatever, and he went through in great detail, and I said, thank you, brother. I'll do the same for you sometime. If you weren't hungry before he went through all that stuff, then you are now, and you're wishing that I'd shut up so you can get out of here and go and get something to eat. Nevertheless, thank you, Steve. I'll do the same for you sometime. I don't know what that was, but anyway, it don't matter. If you've got your Bible, just close it and lay it down on the bench. Will you join me in prayer? Our Father, we're glad to be here today, and we thank you for this privilege. We thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary. We pray that you bless us with try to present the truth here this morning, and we ask you to get Lord Jesus through it for Christ's sake. Ending of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I just quoted a passage of the Scripture there, and if you don't believe that that's in the Bible, then when you get home, look it up and see. I'm not going to tell you where the verses are, and so we'll see how this works out. I'm not quite as smart as some of the fellows in here, but there's some of them that are smart alecks. And I'm neither smart nor am I aleck. And I'm joking. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about, I guess if I had a theme, it would have to do with not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I'd have to tell you up front that there's a lot about the verse that I don't know. I've never been able to come to grips with or understand renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's probably somebody in here right quick, you can tell me about that. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, So I know then that God will not accept your righteousness to gain salvation. But once you're saved, all of the work that you do is being put to your account. We're not talking about visitation, but that works too. But whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving Him the glory thereby. Do you glorify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ in your work? Now, I'm not talking about now, do you get up early in the morning and get everything ready and then go off to the job and you work there, whatever. I'm talking about in whatever you do, do you glorify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ by doing that? Now, I didn't used to think that it would work out this way, but it turned out that I did a lot of good work. I did a lot of good preaching and teaching at Five Flags Speedway in Pensacola, Florida. It never would have happened had I not gone to the races. And so I justified going to the racetrack. I don't think Bernie's ever bought that, but nevertheless. But I've been very fortunate that a friend of mine was sponsoring the track, and he invited me out there, and I would go out on Friday night, and it all depended on how quick they could get everything done and get prepared for the race. But before the race began, I had the privilege of doing the invocation, and then I also had the privilege of speaking. In other words, if they finished in time, then I'd have, say, 4 or 5 minutes or whatever. I could use all of that much time. And then at every year at the Snowball Derby, I was given the privilege of preaching half an hour to 45 minutes if I wanted to take that much time. And it worked out real well. I was very fortunate that there were people that came around later on and said, Brother Moore, I want you to know that I got saved listening to your preaching at the Snowball Derby. And I thought, I wonder if that could have been a first. People go out to the racetrack to watch the cars run, not to hear a preacher preach. Now here's a man standing here, a testimony to the fact that an individual can get saved out here. I've had other people, I'd be in the pit area, and in case you don't know what the pit area is, it's the center of the racetrack, and they call that the pit. And I've had several people there that I had the opportunity to sit down with and show them the gospel of Christ and have them to be saved at the racetrack. The moral of this is that wherever you are, whenever it is, whatever the circumstance, you can always tell somebody that Jesus Christ died for them. So I want to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ paid for your sins on Calvary with His death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The debt for your sins was paid at Calvary by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to put up here and I'm going to say that this right here represents His crucifixion. His crucifixion was in A.D. 33. Jesus Christ was a 33-year-old man when He died. And so I consider that full-grown, come to the age of being a man and making all the decisions and everything, probably would be about AD 33, and I'm not talking about now that you aren't going to learn anything else after that time. But if you haven't learned by the time you're 33 years old, you can just forget it. You ain't going to get nothing else nowhere. So I imagine that you became full grown in there somewhere. Now, I'm going to say that I'm going to put out here a parenthesis like so. And on the other side, I'm going to put out here tribulation, second coming of Christ, but in here, the rapture. Now, I know the rapture isn't in the Bible. The word rapture isn't in the Bible, so you don't need to tell me about that later on. I've been told about whatever times already about that. But I'm just using the term. Jesus Christ died for your sin right here, AD 33. Now, if you're paying any attention to what I'm saying, then you know right now that your sins have already been paid for. Somebody might say, but Brother Moore, you got it all fouled up. I'm not saved yet. Well, that's a great possibility. But your problem this morning is not your sins. So quit making them your problem. I didn't get up here this morning to come down on you about your sins. Your sins are not your problem. If you go to hell, it'll be for unbelief, not your sins. Jesus Christ paid for your sins on Calvary. Say, prove that by the Bible. I don't have one up here open. You look it up. Those kind of things happen. Praise God somehow. Your sins are paid for. You're not going to hell for your sins. I've heard that. Well, you can go to hell for lying too. No, you can't. Well, you can go to hell for your sin. No, you can't. You'll go to hell. If you go to hell, it'll be because of your unbelief. Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Bible said that God made him to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, do you want to face life today in sins or righteousness? If you just leave it like it is, you were born in sin, you're a sinner by nature, and you're a sinner by choice. But Jesus Christ on Calvary took your sins. Jesus Christ on Calvary was made to be sin for you, that you by faith in him might be made the righteousness of God in him. You working on it? You trying to get it right? Stop! Don't work on it anymore. Don't try anymore. Quit trying. Just relax and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it'll get it done. Say, well, I tell you what, I've decided that I'll just die and pay for my sin. Well, you'll just end up in hell. The only hope for you is at Calvary. You have no other hope. You have no other way to go. You can either be saved by grace through faith, trusting Christ to have died for your sins on Calvary, or you can try to handle it on your own and end up in hell, but it's your choice. Now, in here, you're going to work one way or another. You're going to either work good or you're going to work bad. If you're I'm not talking to you about your good works outweighing your bad outweighing. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. If you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God can't see the bad. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there isn't any good works. Now, you can go away from here and tell people that I said that, and tell them that I live in Pensacola, Florida. They'll come and talk to me about it. Come on and do it. But if you're bragging about your good works, and if you go around crowing about all the good things that you do or whatever, and you've never trusted Christ your Lord and Savior, you might as well stop wasting your time and the time of the people in your that you spend with them or whatever. Trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you want to do good, then start telling people that He died for their sins too. Now the Bible said there's none good, no not one. The Bible said there's not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that sums your situation up pretty good. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God doesn't see you in your sins anymore. He took them away at Calvary. Jesus Christ was made to be sin for you, and so God judged you at Calvary where your sins are concerned. So it's all over with. There ain't no need for you to be fretting about it, and there ain't no need to get an altar up here, and you come up here and get out on your knees and start begging and pleading with God about your sins. Say, well, I try to get through to God. You're already through to God. Jesus Christ got through to God for you. You don't need to go anywhere, do anything, say anything, kneel down, sit down, lay down, stand up, fall down, or whatever. It's all a done deal. Jesus Christ did it all on Calvary. You just believe. Now, I'm not talking about just believe that Christ died on Calvary. You just believe that He died for your sins. And don't try to pull our leg in here. There's some of us in here that have been around a while, and we know about all the answers that people try to give. If you're not saved, you're not any good. You're not any good, and if you, in other words, if your daddy, your mother, your grandma, your grandpa, or your children, if none of them are saved, then you're not any good. Your mom and daddy aren't any good. Your grandma and grandpa aren't any good. Your children aren't any good. In fact, you just live in a household of sorry people. What kind of a person is it that will hear that a man who never did anything wrong, a man that never said a curse word, a man that never looked upon a woman to lust after her, a man that never committed a sin, why would he want to die for a crumb bum like me? Why would Jesus Christ come into this world and take my sin upon Himself? Why would He volunteer to become sin when He Himself had never committed a sin? If He wanted to have sins, couldn't He have just done that while He was alive? And I've thought so much about this, and I know there's somebody in here, you've got the answer to it. So think about it. When Jesus Christ was laying on His face out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He was praying, And he said, take this cup from me, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. What was in front of him was the cup of the people's sins. Oh. Okay. Was Jesus Christ praying in Gethsemane and asking God to fix it so that he wouldn't go to Calvary and die for our sins in here? We just sang Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, to save a wretch like me. But there couldn't have been no such song as that if Jesus Christ hadn't died on Calvary. But Jesus Christ did volunteer. And you know what? He said, not my will, but thine be done. When he said, not my will, but thine be done, something happened there. E.C. Moore, Frank Lowry, Steve Atwood, all of the people was on his mind. Not my will. Take this cup from me. Not my will, but thine be done. What was God's will? Bingo. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sorry, crony, filthy-minded, filthy-hearted, evil men and women in the world was on his mind. And I'm talking to somebody in here, you said, nobody cares anything about me. Why is it that nobody cares about me? Shut up. God cared. God cared so much that he delivered up his sinless, only begotten Son to die for you on Calvary. God loved you, proved his love for you by delivering up his sinless Son to die for your filthy sins. Don't you ever again say, nobody loves me. You're not going to get any sympathy out of that anyhow. That's just a con game. I bet you there are people in here. I bet you I'm talking to people here right now. And you've, at some point in your life, you've said nobody cares anything about me. And that's a con job. You're trying to pull a con on somebody. Why'd you steal money from them? Somebody loved you. And he gave Jesus Christ to die for you. He proved that his love was exactly what the Bible says it is. By raising his Son from the dead, Jesus Christ took your sin. God made him to be your sin and died on Calvary. And every night, God raised him from the dead. And it's just like your death. Raised his death. There's death. What is it? Sins. Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins. Where is the receipt? It's in his resurrection. God gave you a receipt by bearing out the fact, biblically, that Jesus Christ, his Son, he raised from the dead after his Son died for your sins. It's your sin that was upon Christ on Calvary. Jesus paid that debt. It's paid in full, and the receipt is in the fact he arose from the dead after 3 days and three nights. It isn't owed anymore. Well, what can you do about it? Receive it. Receive the Lord. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. How can you go on? How can you keep going rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you refuse it now? How can you refuse it now? How can you turn away from his side? With tears in his eyes, on the cross, there he died. How can you refuse Jesus now? There's a story that has often been told. How Savior died. As they nailed his hands, he cried, they don't understand. As the blood flows from his side, how can you refuse it now? How can you refuse it now? How can you turn away from his side? With tears in his eyes, on the cross, there he died. How can you refuse Jesus now? How can you refuse Jesus again and again? There is nobody that's going to come, and no one else that's ever been that would do for you what Jesus Christ did for you. And I'm talking to somebody right now that you have refused him. How can you refuse the one that went to Calvary and took your sins? The one that went to Calvary and paid the debt so that you wouldn't fall off into hell and burn eternally in the lake of fire. There isn't anybody else out there that's going to do this. How can you refuse him? Do you have any answer? What would you answer to Almighty God? What would you answer to the Lord when you look him in the eye someday and you stand there in front of him at a judgment and look right at him and confess to him? Whatever that cause was that you used for not receiving him today, will you receive it? Will you claim it? Will you trust him? What else do I have to say? How many different ways do you have to put it? Receive, claim, trust, call upon. Will you be saved right now? Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for the study of the Word of Truth. We thank you for the fact that you loved us and delivered up the Lord Jesus Christ and gave him to die for us. We pray for that individual that's been running away from me. They've escaped one way and then the other. But this morning, there is no escape. They're face to face with the fact that you delivered up the Lord Jesus Christ and gave him to die for them. I pray that even in this moment, right now, that person would trust Christ as their Lord and Savior and be saved in this service right here today. As you remain just a minute. If you, right now, here this morning, I'm not talking about out of the past. If you, right now, claim Christ, if you will trust him, right now, not have you already done that, but right now, this morning, if you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, will you put up your hand and let me know? I'd just love to know if you... Okay. In other words, you're saying, I, this morning, received Christ as my Savior. Is that you? Okay. Our Father, we thank you again. We praise your name for the gift of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.